Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Heather's Sixth Ward Sacrament meeting today. We'd like to welcome all those that are visiting or here for the first time. Bishop Misbach is presiding at this meeting and has asked that I, Brother Chris Beckstead, conduct today. We also like to recognize Brother Day from the High Council, who is here with us as well. By way of announcements today, a couple things. One is, for your information, the Provo Temple is closed from now until July 11th, so you can attend one of the other nearby temples for this time. Also tonight, there will be a patriotic service at the Marriott Center at 7 o'clock p.m. with Elder D. Todd Christofferson, so all are invited to attend that event if you're interested. With that, we will open today's sacrament meeting by singing hymn number 27, Praise to the Man, after which the invocation will be offered by Sister Joni Bennett.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so very grateful to be here this Sabbath day for the privilege we have of coming and renewing our covenants with Thee as we partake of the sacrament. We're grateful for our membership in Thy church, for all that the gospel brings into our lives. We're grateful for church leaders that serve so diligently on our behalf and ask Thee to bless them with the health and energy that they need to continue to do so. We're grateful for our valiant youth and for the opportunity that we will have to hear about their experiences with TREC. And we ask Thee to bless them that as they relay those experiences that we may be able to feel of the wonderful experiences that they had and the joy that they were able to participate in those experiences. We're grateful for our freedoms and for the men and women in the armed services who fight to keep us and others free, and we ask Thee to bless them with comfort and safety. We're grateful for all that Thou hast given us, and this we say in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right, we have received the following membership records into the ward, and we invite them to stand as their names are read. Mike and Jean Jensen. Those that can accept these members back in our ward in full fellowship, please indicate by the uplifted hand. Thank you. To welcome them from returning from their time in Europe. Look forward to reacquainting ourselves with them. We have a very special sacrament meeting today. As Sister Bennett alluded to in her prayer this morning, we're going to hear about the wonderful experiences that our youth and leaders had at TREC this a week or so ago. I attended, and it was a fantastic and spiritual feast, as well as a growth opportunity, and look forward to hearing from our speakers today. We'd invite all of the youth to go ahead and come up after I announce the names so they can all be up here, and you can see their smiling faces as they're getting ready to speak. So from the youth, we're going to hear from the following, and after I announce them again, if they would come up and take their seats in the stand. Sister Sarah Buman, followed by Ethan Knorr, then Gabe Sweeten, then Maddie Mulford, Stefan Gilbert, then Quincy Crabb, and then Chandler Anderson. Kaylin Cannell is out of town, so Gabe after Ethan, jump up. After the youth share their thoughts, testimonies, and experiences, we're going to hear from Sister Heidi Beckstead and then Brother Curtis Butler. We invite everyone to come forward and then hear from Sister Sarah Buman.
Okay, good morning, brothers and sisters. I'm Sarah Buman. I am 16, and I was called as a youth leader on Trek. So I got to work primarily with the Yondos, who were the leaders of the Trek. This is a really spiritual experience for me because I got to see a lot of behind the scenes, and I had months of preparation before I even went to Trek. One thing that really stood out to me as we went was victory. Along the way, there were a lot of people who struggled, and a really big testimony builder for me was to see how other people helped others attain victory. Along the way, there was a particular boy that struggled to walk the trail, and I watched many stake leaders and mas and pas and even other kids help him along the way. This is really spiritual for me because it was a testimony to me that we're never alone, and through Christ that we can do all things. I was really grateful that I got to go on Trek, and I'm so happy that I was able to grow closer to my ancestors and to my Savior. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name's Ethan Knorr. So pretty much the most amazing thing for Trek for me was just the fact that everyone is able to come together, because we were all in it together. Like, we were all pushing the hand carts and it sucked kind of, but it was fun. But it was just amazing to see everyone come together and help each other. And one thing that was really cool was the Roberts brought Michael on the trail, and I had the opportunity to help push him, and that was really fun. And I just felt the Spirit all the time, and there are lots of good spiritual experiences, and I wouldn't trade the experience of going to Trek for anything else. So I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. I'm Gabe Sweeten, and I had a really good experience on Trek. I feel like it strengthened my testimony quite a bit. And even though pulling the wagon wasn't my favorite thing to do, we kept pushing, knowing that we would eventually get to our beds in a nice hot shower. When the pioneers got to the place, they had to work more to build their houses and stuff. In our family, we had two people that were having leg problems, so we had the privilege to pull them on the cart. And just the attitude that we had about pulling them really made them happier about being pulling, and it just really made everybody else happier. And one of my brothers, he just had the best attitude about being there, that it like rubbed off on me when I didn't really want to be there. He was just always happy, and he made it just fun for me. And one other thing that was really special to me was the woman's pole. So we pulled up like three carts, and then they all pulled up the rest, and they sung the whole way up. And then when the first group of carts would finish, they'd run down and just go help the other carts up. And that was just really special. And I like to bear my testimony that I know this church is true, and that Trek really helped us gain a better testimony and just made us better people. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Hi, I'm Maddie Mulford. And my favorite part about Trek was before the woman's pole, we had a woman's devotional where a bunch of our woman stake leaders came up and told us of all the hard things they had done in their life. And it was a very spiritual experience and helped me grow to admire all our stake leaders more. And I'm really grateful I got to go to Trek, and it was an amazing experience. And I'm grateful for the pioneers. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
All right. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I had the opportunity to go on Trek two times, which if you have the option, I would advise it. Leading up to Trek, I was unsure if I wanted to go. Like I said, I had already gone on one Trek, and I felt that I'd basically served my sentence, and I didn't need to go again. I'd recently gotten a job I had friends and activities here that sounded much more interesting than walking in the wilderness for 4 days. And I felt I could maybe skip out on this. A week before, I decided to pray to see if I should really go to trek. And that Sunday, Brother Anderson got up here and made a promise to all the youth that went on trek that we would receive answers to questions, we would be changed, and it would be a blessed experience for all of us. And I was like, that might be an answer to a prayer. So I decided to go. But like many things in life, even though I knew that that was my answer, it didn't make it any easier. I was leaving behind friends and things I would rather pursue. And the first day, I found I was regretting my decisions, unfortunately. We'd walked 10 miles. At the time, I didn't know that was the longest day, so I was like, this every day for 4 days? It was kind of daunting. I pulled most of the way, which wasn't that bad, but the nail in the coffin was I accidentally napped through dinner, and that was a trial of my testimony. At this point, I was really questioning my decision that I made to go. I thought that I'd prayed and I'd received an answer from God, and that if this is where I was supposed to be, then there must be a reason. And so I earnestly prayed and asked God. I was like, if this is where I need to be, then I'm going to be here. But, you know, let's make the best of this time. The answer to my prayer again came in the form of leaders and the many, many devotionals we had on trek. We had at least 7 devotionals a day, which was a good amount. Some of the ones that stood out to me were, and forgive me for not knowing the names of everyone, a company bishop talked about decisions, was one of the themes of trek, and how important it was that when we make decisions that we are, as he gave an analogy, killing all other options, and we are deciding to stick with that decision and follow through to the end, and the strength and power our choices hold. His wife bore testimony about the victory of God in the last days and how God loves each and every one of his children and wants us to choose to be on the winning side. Another company bishop shared the story of his mission and the struggles that he had. This one particularly stood out to me as I'm now getting ready to serve my mission and realizing that it's not exactly going to be an easy task, especially since I, you know, struggled with trek. And each and every one of the testimonies of the family members that were in my family, I, through the 4 days, learned to love each and every one of them and became very close with them. Trek was a powerful testimony to me of God's plan for me, and how even though I didn't know what was best for me, he was able to tell me I was wrong and ask me to go on trek because he knew the impacts it would have on my life, and I'm still seeing those applied into my everyday life, and I can't thank him enough for that. I'd like to bear my testimony of God's love and care for each one of his children, and that he takes a special interest in each and every one of your lives, that he will guide you and take care of you if you let him, even when you don't do it for yourself. I'd like to bear testimony of the church leaders we have and the sacrifice they made for us on this trek, and how each and every one of them really cares for our well-being. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Hi everyone, I'm Quincy Crabb, for those who don't know me. And I think we can all agree that trek is way different than anything we've ever experienced and anything we ever will experience. All the hard work that our leaders put into it make for an experience that can't be described by anything else than like strengthening our testimonies and finding out what it was like for our ancestors. My testimony was strengthened in so many different ways to just talk about one, but I'd like to focus on talking about how I strengthen that. I know that my Heavenly Father has a plan for me, and I know that I need to be where I need to be when I'm supposed to be there. We all, I'm sure, had like places we could have been, commitments we could have been to. I personally had a really important dance intensive I could have been at, but I was at trek, and I knew that's where my Heavenly Father wanted me to be, and I knew that I learned things at trek that I couldn't have learned anywhere else. And in my parent letter, we all had our parents write us a letter, And I was reading that Friday morning, and my mom just talked about how even if I wasn't having the best attitude about Trek and I wasn't maybe loving every step of the way on the trail pushing the handcart, the Trek would be something that I would remember forever, and it would help me to have a stronger testimony for my whole life, and I'd appreciate it even more when I'm older. And I know that that's true, and even just being home after a week, I've learned to appreciate it so much more. Sometimes it is hard to tough it out and get those 4 days done, and it's definitely not easy, but we were all there, and we were committed, and we were doing everything we could to get the most out of it. I'm so grateful for the amazing family that I had and all the great experiences I was able to have, and to be able to meet new people in the stake and work with great leaders. And I'm so grateful for this opportunity again, and I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Hello, brothers and sisters. My name is Chandler Anderson, and as well, I was able to have the opportunity to go to Trek. Trek was one of the hardest things for me, but yet it was also one of the funnest things. My favorite part of Trek was finally going to sleep. But when I went to sleep, my snoring didn't let anyone else fall asleep. When we woke up and we got packed and ready to move, as well as ate breakfast, with tired people everywhere and complaining, I was thinking, why did I come? But when we finished, I thought, wow, I walked all that way. And it was amazing to see what I could do with help from my family. The hardest thing for me on Trek wasn't pulling or pushing the handcart. It was standing and there watching during the women's pull. Before they started the women's pull, all the men were gathered to the front with all the handcarts. They took about 3 to 4 handcarts, and we had about 12 to 15 men pulling each handcart. A few people were struggling due to how steep the hill was, but everyone's dedication to get to the top of the hill, we made it. One thing that we didn't believe we could because it was so steep, but we found out that we could do it. As we were at the top of the hill, we sat on the mountain talking. For an hour, we sat there. At the bottom of the hill, the girls had an hour devotional. We finally saw them come around a turn, and then we had a 5-minute devotional. We went and stood on both sides of the trail. We couldn't talk, we couldn't help. We just stood there, standing and watching. I was amazed when they came that they had smiles on their faces and that they were singing songs. There was so much dust in the air that I may have shed a tear or two. All in all, Trek was amazing, with a few new friends, a few new jokes, memories to remember, and now I have experienced some of what the pioneers have. And although that the pioneers made a journey about 20 miles a day, we only went 10, our maximum. But it was strengthening, knowing that everyone would do it, even people that weren't as physically able. And that just made it so much better. And I like to say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I really appreciated those testimonies. They really brought the spirit. I'm so glad that all the youth from our ward who went, I'm so proud of them, and they were really amazing, and I got to be Stefan's partner when we got to do the Virginia Reel, and he was such a good sport about it. I was the only leader in the group, and he was just, you know, just nice and happy about it, and each of the youth from our ward, when I saw them, they were just smiling and kind and loving, and it was a really sweet experience to be there with them. So Chris and I had the privilege of serving as Ma and Pa Beckstead on the trek, with Brother Butler as our company captain, and Brother and Sister Roberts there. We worked with Ma and Pa Young and Ma and Pa Shaw from our ward, and we were able to help the youth in the Orange Company have a meaningful and memorable trek. This experience gave me a unique perspective. I witnessed miracles that happened in the lives of the youth. I witnessed great service that was given by the adult leaders in our stake. I felt changes in my own heart that took place as I met the challenges of each moment trekking arm in arm with the youth. This week, as I've been washing all the dishes and sleeping bags and getting the dust off everything, I kind of felt like cleaning up the Christmas decorations. I had just prepared so much and put so much into it, and it was such a sweet experience, and it was almost kind of hard to let it go. Like, I'm putting all of this away, and I've just been, you know, stacking it up in my room for months and getting ready. And so it was just kind of that, you know, when you cry a little when you take your Christmas tree down, that's a little bit how I felt this week. So Chris and I had 10 children in our family. We had 5 boys and 5 girls. Until Trek began, I had never met 7 of those children. Amazingly, we all shared a common ancestor. Brother Ivy ran all the names of the Maws and Paws through a database and found a common pioneer ancestor, and then paired all the kids in the stake up with people they were related to. It was really amazing. And so I just felt a bond, especially as we were able to share experiences of this ancestor. Ours was Lydia Allen, and we got to share experiences and pictures of her, and we really did feel like we were part of a family together. Along the trail, we enjoyed getting to know each other as we talked and worked together. Working together really brings you closer and makes you have some unity, whether you like it or not. The youth had opportunities to push themselves physically, serve our family, and reflect on the beauty of God's creations and the dedication of the early pioneers. During trek, I happened to be in 3 Nephi in my personal scripture study, and so it was interesting finding correlations between what I was reading and what I was experiencing during trek. On Wednesday night, I woke up to the sound of the wind blowing our tent furiously. And I couldn't go back to sleep. I turned on my headlamp in my sleeping bag, and I picked up where I had left off the day before, 3 Nephi chapter 8. Tempests, earthquakes, fires, whirlwinds, and physical upheavals are attesting the crucifixion of Christ. I felt like there were special effects surrounding me with the whirlwinds that felt like they were about to pick us up out of the tent. And then early Friday morning, I sat in my tent and read chapter 10. It was still and dark outside. There was silence around me as I read about Christ promising the Nephites that he would gather his people as a hen gathers her chickens. As I read that scripture, a strong sense of love poured into my heart. It was a feeling that Jesus Christ loves each of his children perfectly and beyond my ability to comprehend. He was giving me the opportunity to serve as a ma, or a mother hen, who could feel part of that love for some of his children. I saw these children in our family with new eyes, and I wanted them to feel of that love that Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father have for them. I felt joy as I served them and worked with them. I felt hope in their futures as I watched them experience the trials of trek. They endured well, and they learned that they can do all things with Christ. I shared with some of them as we were trekking, a principle that's taught in Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30. It came to my head as we were walking along, and I saw this scripture just in a different way I'd never really felt before. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This scripture really came to life as we pushed that handcart. I wanted all the help I can get from Jesus Christ. I couldn't push that handcart on my own. During the women's pull, I had my daughters and a few other girls, and we really struggled pushing that handcart up that hill. And it really reminded me that I want to be yoked with Jesus Christ. I want to find the rest that that he provides, and if I take upon his yoke, my burdens can be lightened, and I'm so grateful for that. And I was able to share that with some of the girls that I was pulling with. like all these youth, shared some of our wonderful experiences. I really felt my testimony growing throughout all these devotionals that we had, particularly the one that Brother and Sister Roberts shared. They talked about the lessons that they've learned by having Michael as a part of their family. And for them, it's truly a privilege. They don't feel it as a burden. And one of the things that Brother Roberts talked about was that Michael can't thank them. He can't do anything in return for all of the service they give to him. And but they do it, and they love him. And it's a little bit like us and our Heavenly Father. There's nothing we can truly give him and do to thank him, but he loves us and he does everything for us, and we just need to give him our will and obey the best that we can. I'm so grateful for that that devotional that we had. It really, really strengthened my testimony. And then watching the youth take turns pushing Michael in the kind of the trail stroller that they had, and they put a bar in the front, and so they had three people pushing at a time, and it was really, it touched me. My boys and one of their friends got the opportunity to do it together, and it just brought tears to my eyes. I really appreciated that experience. I think it helped give a little bit of perspective and appreciation to the youth in our stake, and I'm so grateful for that. Like Maddie mentioned, before we did the women's poll, we had a devotional. And I'm telling you, those stake leaders, I haven't really worked with anyone out of our ward much at all until this trek. And they just, the whole preparation for trek, they just came across as these really, you know, put together, amazing women. And when they shared these extreme trials that they've had in their lives, I was really surprised. I just never would have imagined some of the things they've gone through, and it's because they have not become bitter because of these trials. They have made the choice to meet the trials with faith and let that strengthen their testimony that Heavenly Father is helping them to grow and become tools in His hands. And so I was very, very touched by those experiences that were shared before we went and pulled these hand carts, just the women up this hill. And it gave me confidence that I can do better, and that all these young women who heard these, that they, as they experience trials in their lives, can find hope and choose to turn towards their Heavenly Father instead of away from Him when they're giving trials. Our company testimony meeting was one of the highlights for me. All of the youth opened up. Many in our family shared trials, again, that I never would have guessed. They hadn't, you know, shared them previously, and I haven't been them around to know, but they shared some extreme life experiences, and it hurt my heart. I feel like the youth today have a lot of really hard challenges, and I'm grateful that they followed the promptings to share these experiences, and they had so much wisdom. They didn't just share an experience and you felt like, oh, that's terrible. They shared it and said how it has strengthened them and how their testimony has grown because they have allowed that trial to bring them closer to Christ. And as I heard their testimonies, I could see that the atonement had become real for them. I saw the power of sacrifice during trek. The youth talked about how they gave up some of the comforts of their homes, their technology, summer activities, and other things that they could have been doing. But in return, they were put in a place where they were surrounded by positive messages and influences all of the time. We shut the world out, literally. We left behind our little screens. We were engulfed by powerful spiritual lessons, gratitude for pioneer ancestors, uplifting music, encouraging words from friends and leaders. There were no mirrors. We all wore the same kind of clothing. We didn't make comparisons or judgments. We all felt included in the family of God. I was thinking about how this scenario is kind of hard to create in our world today. And I just had such an appreciation for all the leaders who made that happen, because it took a lot of work to get there. I loved watching the youth dance together on Friday after we reached camp. They didn't have phones to text each other, so they just smiled at each other and they interacted. They did the Cotton Eye Joe and the Virginia Reel, and they were so joyful. You could see it in their faces. And even though they had just been walking all day, they renewed their energy with this positive recreational activity, and it was really refreshing to see. I loved every moment of that. Again, I'm just so grateful for the sacrifices that were given by so many inspired leaders in our stake who made this experience possible, because I know that these effects will be lasting and life-changing. Sister Yondo made the comment when she was planning and preparing for all of these things, she kept asking herself, does it matter? And it did. I'm so grateful that she and others continued and pushed through. And for our stake presidency, they really made this such a special experience for the youth, and just gave these such quality devotionals and such good advice, and it was just beautiful. So it really did matter. So by the end of trek, you can hear in the kids that have shared today, hear how exhausted they were. In fact, actually, I probably have a minute. I will share you one little thing I wrote in my journal. Trek was harder than I expected. I spent time preparing myself physically and spiritually, so I really felt ready to go. After trekking 10 miles the first day, I was completely exhausted when we got to camp. I felt more tired than I feel after running a half marathon. As we set up camp, I couldn't help but think of the pioneers. My tired body was experiencing a small fraction of what they endured. I was laying out a nice, soft sleeping pad and sleeping bag in a beautiful, clean, spacious tent. I was cleaning my hands to partake of a delicious meal prepared by our stake food committee. I was shaking out my dusty wool socks and running shoes and wiping my feet clean. The pioneers had none of these luxuries. If they could continue pressing forward with faith and joy, so could I. My thoughts turned to feelings of gratitude for all that I have and reverence for those valiant, determined pioneers. My exhaustion melted away in my appreciation. Discomfort disappeared into awe. I had a glimpse into my pioneer past, and it touched my heart like never before. Come what may, I will find a way to have hope, choose well, and be victorious in my Savior Jesus Christ. So with those feelings of exhaustion that we felt, and that was just after the first day, on day four, the stage was set for our final experience of going home. We all wanted to feel clean and rested again. Chris commented that all of our homes would feel like the celestial kingdom. But before going home, we needed to give something up. At the beginning of trek, the stake presidency had given each of the youth a heavy rock, and that had to be, they had to carry it. We had to maneuver them around the handcart, and anytime we wanted to get anything out of it, we had to move them around, and they became burdensome. And they each wrote their name on a rock. Well, the end of the trek was time to give this rock up. So each of the youth took their rocks and they built an altar. They were encouraged to think of something they needed to let go of and be willing to give up and leave it behind as they went home. As I watched them pile the rocks, I could again feel Heavenly Father's love for each of them as they thoughtfully considered what changes they needed to make in their lives. Although we had been well-fed physically and spiritually throughout the trek, I felt like we had been fasting, because there was that kind of amazing spirit that you feel when you're fasting there. We had given up the world. We dedicated ourselves to this trekking experience. I think we were all more vulnerable to this spirit. It was there in such abundance. The end of the trek was a perfect time to ask the youth to what they wanted to give up, because they were prepared. They were open to receiving personal revelation at that moment, and it was very powerful. Along the way, we had, even before trek, you know, the youth had these journals, and inside there were stories about pioneers for each day's theme, having hope, choosing well, and being victorious. And then there would be some modern stories that had been collected so the youth could really relate those to their own life. And so they were able to take home these feelings of, you know, these pioneer stories are really our stories. And they had examples. And the youth leaders, in our board, it was Max Roberts and Sarah Buman, as Sarah mentioned, but they depicted these stories along the trail in little vignettes. So they would act them out, no words, but, you know, the word hope or choice and victory. And these experiences, along with this building the altar at the end, I think really gave the youth something to take home as their trek continues. It made it so relatable and helped them to find ways that they can allow it to change their lives. I'm grateful for my Savior, I'm grateful for the pioneers, and I'm grateful for Joseph Smith as we sang that beautiful hymn of praise to the man today. And I thought about, you know, this is the time that he was martyred, and that's why the pioneers did what they did, because they were driven and they wanted to be able to worship our Heavenly Father in the way they knew that they should. And I'm so grateful for my pioneer ancestors, and I'm grateful for our Heavenly Father and his love for us. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you, Sister Beckstead. She did a wonderful descriptive job of the purpose of TREK. The Ma's and Pa's really were the focus with the family. They had the lion's share of opportunity to teach the children and care for them and cook for them and feed them and put them to bed and tell them to go to sleep and walk with them during the day. And I wish we had more time, because the Youngs and the Shaws would have just as many descriptive details as Sister Beckstead had to share with you as well. In being polite, I want to thank everyone that helped, all the children of this ward that came to TREK, make it a success. The adversary did not want TREK to happen, I can tell you that, but he's not powerful enough to stop it. There were challenges, and many of the youth that went were challenged right up to the time, some of them, that they got on the bus. When we showed up that morning, there were some trekkers that were suffering from anxiety and wouldn't get out of the cars. Over a year of preparation went into this, and the Yando were very detail-oriented. It was a huge success for a spiritual adventure. Yes, it's physical, but TREK's about the spirit. The first day, the children looked a little bewildered. Well, they're getting used to this cart, you know, this cart. You get there and seven wards, three families a ward, some had four. So 22, 23 carts and your stuff. And some of the kids had this blank look on their face the first few hours. And they got up early, had a ride, 10 miles. And I was glad I was only one of the leaders that only got 3 hours of sleep. Diane just said, go to bed, go to bed. It was like 1:30 in the morning, Wednesday morning. When I went to bed, I got up at 4:30. I knew I could make it through the first day, but the Lord helped us on the second, I think. But anyway, the second day, the trekkers were more relaxed and a little more fluid and easygoing. But they didn't know they were going to have the women's pall. Coming up that hill when we separated from the women, a lot of the adult leaders that left their wives down at the bottom. And all of us just, whoa, that's too much. That's just too much. They're not going to make it. And we were worried. And so there was even talk about having rescue. I mean, it was that steep to us. And they brought up 19 carts, the women, without the guys, with all the stuff in it, less people, up this horrendous incline. And we got it. We stopped 5-6 times on the way up. And we got up to the top and we sat there, and then we had a devotional, and we were looking down the road. And there was kind of a hill that folded out, and the road come around the point. So you couldn't see the women at the bottom till about a half mile, halfway up. And they come around the point, and it looked like a presidential procession. And they only stopped once, and they just flowed up that hill. That's what it looked like. When they got close enough that you could see them struggling and pushing hard. And we stood on the side with our hats over our hearts. Wanting to help, but silently observing. I thought, that's the Lord watching all of us trek through life. And He wants to help us, but some things we just have to do ourselves. We were praying for Him. And they went right up the hill. And then women came running down to help the others. The power of the Lord sustaining those women is incredible to describe. I asked my wife, which was there with me, she was in support, but she was alone on the hill watching them. She wore this little necklace she got at Girls Camp a couple of years ago. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. This is what the women's pole, as she held her necklace, meant to her. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The testimony meeting, Sister Beckstead made mention of, was awesome. And there was testimonies born. And the stake presidency had said to the children, to the young people, to everyone, that God might not personally reach out and touch you, but he will through the leaders. And as a leader, I felt that stride lengthened. I felt that I was able to, in a few instances, be that person. And as the next day after the testimony meeting, which was the fourth day, I walked up on a wagon and there was a young girl and she turned around and I was able to just look in her face and know what she felt. And I put my arm around her. We were standing up kind of, we were having a water break, standing up above the cart, and I just pulled her to my side and she put her head on my shoulder. I said, "I'm glad you came." And she said, I am too. I'm so worried about my friend." And I said, "I know." I was able to have similar experience with several people. I'm so happy to be able to be in the Lord's service and receive those tender mercies and be a witness of our young men and women. And I watched. I acted like I was standing on the side watching everybody walk by, but my feet hurt so bad I couldn't walk, so I was just standing there walking. At the end of the day, sometimes I'd let the train walk by me and come in last. Anyway, and I watched our youth interact with each other. I watched Stefan Gilbert. Thanks for going. I watched him fellowship with his family, and they hugged, and many others, and it was wonderful. There's so many things I could talk about, but I can't. But I appreciate the privilege extended to me by the bishop last December when he asked if I'd do this. And I said, "Yes." And he says, "Don't you want to think about it?" And I says, "No, I've never been on a trek. I think I got another one in me." So anyway, the captain and the bishopric would give devotionals first thing in the morning. We'd get up at 7, eat breakfast, have a devotional, get going. On the last day, we closed with the scripture in Doctrine and Covenants 112, which I will close today with. "Therefore, continue your journey, let your hearts rejoice. For behold, lo, I am with you, even unto the end." I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Wow, thank you for those wonderful experiences, testimonies from all the youth and leaders. We're going to hear a couple of closing remarks from Brother Roberts, after which we will sing hymn number 29, "A Poor Wayfaring Man of Grief," and then the benediction will be offered by Brother Lynn Waite.
I wish I was that Tom, but he probably heard a little bit about that, the opportunity we had to bring Michael.
It was interesting because probably 6 months ago, the Yondos happened to be inspired to come to our ward building. And they were walking around, and somehow they bumped into Dana and Michael and started chatting. And then they left, and I don't know how much longer after that, they approached us saying, we would really like to have Michael come on track. Well, for us, we were going to go and, okay, well, having a son with disabilities, you never know what that means. And so over the last, 4 or 5 months, they've been talking to us about Michael coming, and we were pretty close to it because Max was deeply involved in the planning process as one of the youth leaders. So we got updates a lot on this. But I do have a very strong testimony of the inspiration of our leaders and especially our stake leaders. They were persistent in saying, yeah, we really want Michael to come. And then also they asked us to be part of the Thursday opening devotional. So Dane and I had an opportunity to share our experiences regarding Michael and, how he came into our family and the lessons that we have learned from Michael. And the thing that we try to convey to people, and again, I know a lot of people look at us and go, boy, that's a lot of work. And at times it is, but it's a huge blessing. And Michael is here for a very different purpose. And that's what thing we really tried to share in our comments, and Dana went into a lot more detail in this, that, Michael isn't out there doing things for people. He requires people to help him every day for everything. But that allows other people to grow, to develop, and to fill the Spirit. And so this was a real unique opportunity because we've never had the opportunity to take Michael on any type of event like the High Adventure or anything like this. It just was perfect. Everything kind of worked out. There was a place that we could stay at night with Michael, and we were able to go out each day and participate. And as some of the speakers have indicated, we had a little stroller. Michael can walk. I mean, I think a lot of people see him here at church. We have him in a stroller, more so that we can get him from point A to point B. Otherwise, he'd sit down and go off different directions, but he can walk. But on the trek, we had the stroller or this jogger, and Brother Butler actually hooked up, as Heidi had indicated, a little pulley system. And so we had an opportunity for every family to spend some time with Michael and to push and pull him. And Dana and I had an opportunity to walk beside these young people as they did it. And it was remarkable. It wasn't like when you came up to family, you had to beg people. They would drop everything and run over to be able to participate. And the comments and questions we got from the youth were amazing, really insightful. They had good questions about Michael and what he could do, and how, some of the comments we made really had them think about their life. We had a few youth that really became friends with Michael. There's another young man in the stake who has his own disabilities, yet he was there with Michael, helping Michael, and really became a really good friend. And Michael, this was, for us, this was remarkable. Michael was more open and more engaging than I've ever seen him, with leaders and with youth. He was doing his form of hugs and shaking hands and smiling. And every night when we got back before bed, you could tell that this was a very special experience for him. But again, it wouldn't have happened unless we had inspired leaders, ones that were thinking about the needs of all those individuals. And as you can tell, every event that we do is really unique to the individual. The Spirit works within each other, each person, as it needs to. the people they run into, the conversations, the devotionals, all those things touch people in different ways. And it was through a lot of inspiration, it was a lot of information that we were put in a position that we had Michael on track. But it was a wonderful experience. And as parents, it was a great blessing for us to be there and to be able to experience that. And I love the gospel. I love what it means to us and the fact that this is all a journey that we're on together. And I think the youth got the opportunity to feel that. And that someday we will arrive back to be with our Heavenly Father again. And I do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for this sacrament meeting that we've been able to attend today. We're grateful for the youth that have spoken to us and given us their testimony and experiences that they've had in this trek that they've been on. We're grateful for the leaders that have shared their testimonies too and the experiences that they've been able to share with us. And we're grateful for the courage of these youth and leaders to continue this on in our lives, to keep keep our youth and to have courage, and also our those around around them that associate with them. We're grateful for this, these opportunities that our leaders have provided for us, that for the youth and again leaders, so that they might be able to share this in the future with many other youth. We're grateful for them, for our prophet and our other prophets, and especially Joseph Smith and the challenges he went through and the courage he had to share with us the importance of the gospel and the atonement. We again grateful for our servicemen, those serving to help us have our great freedoms that we have, and that we can enjoy this great surroundings here, so that we again can do many challenging things in our lives that will that help us. We ask you to bless us now and bless the missionaries from our ward and all the other missionaries that are in the missionary service right now. We ask thee to be with them and be with us during this next few weeks, and again to help us realize the challenges and the journeys that we have, that we are journeying on. We ask thee to be with us now, and also those that will continue to teach us today. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.